From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Andrew Wheeler, the new head of the Environmental Protection Agency, disclosed his lobbying ties to the fossil fuel industry this week, raising alarm bells about whether he would be any better than his predecessor, Scott Pruitt, who recently resigned in disgrace. Wheeler is known as a longtime energy lobbyist and served under Pruitt as deputy EPA chief. As investigations into Pruitt's deeds continue, environmental groups are now demanding that the policies he put into place at the EPA be put on hold until the inquiries are complete. Joining me to discuss both Wheeler and Pruitt is Lucas Ross, senior policy analyst with the group Friends of the Earth. Welcome to the program, Lucas.
It's great to be here.
So I understand you've just returned from a hearing where Mr. Wheeler was testifying to members of Congress about his ties. People who are appointed to such to head such government agencies are expected to disclose information about potential conflicts of interest with any industries that they might be regulating. So what did you find out? What did Andrew Wheeler let on that he's connected with?
You know, watching the hearing this morning, I was struck by the fact that he really is a very dangerous man to be in charge of the EPA. And I think before anyone jumps to any conclusions about him being any kind of improvement over Scott Pruitt, three things need to be made absolutely clear. The first thing is that to your question about industries, he spent most of the last 10 years of his life representing the fossil fuel sector. In fact, his biggest client in private practice was a coal company, Murray Energy, with very close ties to the Trump administration. Second, before that, he worked for actually one of the senators he was testifying in front of, James Inhofe, the biggest climate denier in the Senate. This is the guy who notoriously brought a snowball onto the floor of the Senate to disprove global warming. He was Inhofe's guy for nearly two decades, and it shows in his climate denial. It shows in his management of the EPA. I think thirdly, and this is probably the most important part, as he continues to advance this agenda on behalf of his former fossil fuel clients, he is a clone of Scott Pruitt on policy terms. Every piece of policy that Scott Pruitt got the ball rolling on, Andrew Wheeler is preparing to advance. And he said as much before Congress this morning. What he said was that he would waste no time continuing the deregulatory agenda and implementing the president's vision for what the EPA should, or I should say, shouldn't do.
So he isn't new to the EPA. He worked under Pruitt. Why are we just now basically understanding what his links to these various lobbying groups, what his lobbying links to these various industries are? How was he even the deputy under Pruitt with such open links? Or is that just basically par for the course under the Trump administration? If Pruitt was going to be the head, why not have someone like Wheeler right below him, right?
Absolutely. I mean, this is the total takeover of the EPA by fossil fuel interests. And if Scott Pruitt was the guy who opened the door for the polluters that Andrew Wheeler spent his life protecting, then Andrew Wheeler is the guy who is keeping that door wide open. The thing that made Wheeler so controversial this week is that it came out recently that he had met with former clients while at the EPA. That's a big deal, and it's something that he's trying to hide and downplay. The other part is, and this hasn't been received nearly the attention it deserves, is that Andrew Wheeler has been meeting with former representatives of a group called NERO. That's the National Energy Resources Organization. This is a dark money fossil fuel group. Now, this wouldn't be as controversial as it really is had Andrew Wheeler himself not been in charge of it as recently as 3 years ago. So this is a front for the fossil fuel industry that is composed almost entirely of representatives of the fossil fuel industry that Andrew Wheeler used to be in charge of. And since he became acting administrator and during his time as deputy administrator, he was actually meeting with a lot of his former chums from this front group. It's really problematic, and he hasn't really answered the questions in a way that he should have, that should satisfy the public, that should satisfy the executive branch, frankly.
Now, he claimed this week that he began rolling back and sort of phasing out his lobbying efforts over the past year and a half, expecting to be called into work at the EPA and wanting to be sure that he wouldn't be accused of conflicts of interest. But you're saying that he still met with former clients while working at the EPA?
Yes, that is what has been reported. He's met with former clients, and he also met, and this hasn't again received the attention it deserves. He met with members of the National Energy Resources Organization, the fossil fuel group he used to run. It's a big problem, and just this week he's begun to face his first official call for an investigation into his ethics. That's after only a month in office as acting administrator. Now, there was this perception that's really not very well founded, that Andrew Wheeler was going to come in and be this vigorous and vicious advocate of polluters, but that unlike Scott Pruitt, he would have a slightly smarter head for avoiding these ethical quagmires. What we have seen over the last couple of days is that that just isn't really true. But the mainstream media isn't really holding him to account in the way that they should. They think that this is a Washington guy. He's going to do responsible Washington things in the process of gutting our environmental protections. And I make no mistake, that is a narrative that Andrew Wheeler has put out there. It is a narrative he is a beneficiary of, and it is a kind of protection of Washington insiderism that is deeply problematic on its own terms. A lot of conservatives, and unfortunately, I think a lot of liberals, get the idea because Andrew Wheeler is the sort of guy they would meet at a cocktail party, and absolutely he is, that somehow he's less awful than Scott Pruitt. That just isn't the case.
Right. USA Today put out a piece called Andrew Wheeler is No Scott Pruitt, Seven Things to Know About the Acting EPA Administrator. And in it, the piece basically says Wheeler will be more tactical than Pruitt and that he won't attract as much scandal as Pruitt did. And this is, of course, the danger. Unfortunately, Pruitt was forced to resign in part because he just blatantly used taxpayer funds to go on first-class trips and install that very expensive private phone booth in his office, rather than the rolling back of protections, public protections, rather than essentially destroying the EPA from the inside. So Andrew Wheeler is only different from Pruitt in that he may not step into the same kinds of additional ethical scandals that Pruitt stepped into, but of course seems to be bent on continuing deregulatory policies, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is an important point here because, as you just said, Andrew Wheeler is effectively picking up where Scott Pruitt left off. What do we really know about Scott Pruitt's corruption? Obviously, what was reported. But when he resigned, there were over 15 independent investigations into his conduct. The one that had already concluded definitively that he broke the law. Now, if Andrew Wheeler is picking up right where Scott Pruitt left off, and those investigations are still ongoing, we honestly don't know how deep the corruption went. So every single piece of policy that Scott Pruitt touched while he was administrator is suspect right now because we don't know the level of illegal collusion with industry that he was actually practicing while he was in charge. And if Andrew Wheeler is just stepping into his place and continuing that as though nothing had happened, we need to find out how deep the problem went, how deep the rot went. This is an issue that is honestly very concerning because he's just continuing that work without those investigations being allowed to conclude.
So, Lucas, I understand that your organization, Friends of the Earth, joined about a dozen or so environmental groups in sending a letter to members of Congress saying that any of the policies that Scott Pruitt put into place that are still being put into place need to be suspended until the investigations are complete. Tell us a little bit about that letter and what support you have in Congress for it.
Yeah, so categorically. It is simply unconscionable to allow any piece of policy touched by Scott Pruitt as administrator to proceed until those investigations are complete. We have a right to know, and we deserve to know, the full scope of his corruption. It's the only way that the EPA is ever going to recover its legitimacy. What we were demanding was a suspension of all of Scott Pruitt's policies while the independent investigations that have been initiated by the EPA's Inspector General into Pruitt's conduct conclude. This was in support of a piece of legislation introduced by Senator Merkley from Oregon and Representative Connolly from Virginia. What the legislation would do is it would suspend all of the initiated rulemakings put into motion by Scott Pruitt until after those investigations are complete. Now, this is really important because he actually got the ball rolling on a bunch of really damaging policies. Now, first of all, you've got an attempt to take clean water protection away from 117 million Americans. You've got the initiation of the peeling back of carbon limitations in the power sector. And you've also got attacks against clean vehicle standards that are designed to make our cars less dirty and more fuel efficient. Like, these are all major policy shifts that skew in favor of the very industries that Pruitt is accused of colluding with inappropriately.
And actually, I'm just wondering, Lucas, I want to just take an aside for a second. The Associated Press, we had reported on our news headlines on our show yesterday that Associated Press got a hold of some draft proposals for why the Trump administration, or the justification the Trump administration is coming up with to freeze fuel efficiency standards at the 2020 levels that were put in place under Obama, rather than, you know, have greater efficiency. And their reasoning was that if cars are more fuel efficient, more people will drive cars, and therefore more people will die in car accidents. I couldn't believe this.
It's absolutely Orwellian, the fact that they are arguing for the peeling back of public health standards in the name of protecting public health. The idea that it's going to actually save lives if we have fewer protections is frankly insane. They know it's insane. We know it's insane. And I think the minute that this proposal is put in front of a federal judge, they are going to declare it's insane. But the biggest problem that we have right now is that the judiciary is in danger of being stacked against us. One of the single biggest concerns right now is that it doesn't matter that Andrew Wheeler is breaking the law. It doesn't matter that Scott Pruitt is breaking the law. They are in the process of attacking our bedrock environmental protections. And it's very likely that under normal circumstances, these attacks could be shut down in the courts. But we're looking at Brett Kavanaugh right now. And that's a very, very sobering perspective.
Nothing is normal anymore, it seems, under normal
absolutely
circumstances.
Absolutely nothing is normal anymore. And if Brett Kavanaugh is allowed to take the vacant Supreme Court seat, he has a notoriously bad record on environmental issues, in addition to women's health protections, LGBTQ protections. A lot of these issues he's terrible on. Environmentalism is only one on the list. But if he is seated on the Supreme Court, it could mean that a lot of policies whose rollback might be stopped by a normal, sane judiciary might be allowed to proceed. That means that the most important thing that we can do right now in order to stop Andrew Wheeler, in order to stop Scott Pruitt's legacy from being fully implemented, is keep Brett Kavanaugh off of the Supreme Court.
I'm glad you brought that up because his name seems to have slipped out of the news lately. One Democratic lawmaker, Joe Manchin, did meet with him. We'll see whether other Democrats stand firm. Now, there was one bright spot at the EPA in recent days, and that was the rolling back of policies that had started to be put into place around allowing super polluting trucks, so-called super polluting trucks. That has now been overturned. Why do you think that happened, and is that a victory?
The glider truck proposal, yeah. I'm very glad that you brought that up. So under the Obama administration, a limit had been placed on the number of super polluting trucks that could be released, that could be sold per year. This was done through the regulatory process. And one of the first things that Scott Pruitt did after he was confirmed was peel back that regulation. Now, that's a long, complicated legal process. What was happening is that on his last day, after his resignation had been announced, is that he put through one final order that didn't reverse that regulation. It just declared that the EPA was no longer going to enforce it. So what Andrew Wheeler peeled back was not, in fact, that regulation. It was that order of non-enforcement.
I see.
And the issue is that he only peeled it back, I would argue, because it had already lost in court so quickly. This isn't Andrew Wheeler trying to do the right thing. This is Andrew Wheeler recognizing the wrong thing isn't immediately legally feasible.
I like the way you put that. So the actions, the campaigns that organizations like yours mounted against Pruitt, there was one banner was Boot Pruitt, were clearly very successful in essentially forcing Pruitt's resignation. With his with him being replaced by Andrew Wheeler, will you have something similar? Are you mounting a similar campaign to, you know, maybe with a different rhyme? to get rid of Wheeler and to push him to resign as well.
The movement that got rid of Scott Pruitt and finally got him out of the EPA absolutely needs to take on Andrew Wheeler. We have no choice. Hmm. This is a dangerous guy, and the longer he's allowed to remain at the EPA, the more damage he's going to be able to do. Hmm. There is going to be eventually a confirmation fight about this guy. If he is nominated by Trump to officially take over as administrator, that is going to be a vote we watch very carefully. Because if, after his record so far, the Senate votes to confirm him, it will be a fundamental betrayal of clean air, of our climate, and of the American people.
So in terms of, I want to just pull, get a little bit more into detail about his ties to the fossil fuel industry. Murray Energy, which is a very controversial coal company that, as you said, has ties to Donald Trump, has been one of Wheeler's top clients. This is a very, of course, this is an company in a very polluting but dying industry. Is Andrew Wheeler's leadership at the EPA going to attempt to pull back the coal industry from the brink of death and you know push away so many of these regulations that it could actually revive, or is coal really dead?
I am really glad you brought up Murray Energy. So as you said, this was Andrew Wheeler's most expensive client while he was in the private sector. When people say that he was a coal lobbyist, this is the company that they're talking about. In the months before Andrew Wheeler started working at the EPA, he was working with Bob Murray on what a lot of people consider to be the most radical and dangerous proposal the energy sector has seen in a long time. It was a call to intervene using the Department of Energy's emergency powers to essentially guarantee the profits of failing coal and nuclear plants. It's a proposal that was so extreme, it managed to unite everyone from the renewable energy sector to consumer advocates. Even parts of the fossil fuel industry thought that this was a bridge way too far. But Andrew Wheeler was on the ground floor of that proposal. And there are, in fact, pictures that were leaked out of the Department of Energy that show him sitting next to Bob Murray with Rick Perry in the room pitching this terrible idea. And it's not just a terrible idea because of the climate, because these coal plants are dying and there isn't an economic miracle that's going to bring back the coal industry. It would also be a disaster for consumers. If we were forced to cover the costs of bailing out these coal plants and consumers were asked to foot that bill, it could be a lot of money. The estimates varied, but on the higher end, we're talking about $34 billion that would have been handed right to everyday people on their meters just trying to keep the lights on. It was such an overreach that it was shut down almost immediately by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. But our understanding is that the Trump administration is currently planning to use emergency defense powers to force the purchase of electricity from these ailing dinosaur coal and nuke plants. Now, Andrew Wheeler says he is avoiding discussion of this because he was a lobbyist on the matter. But at this point, after only a month in office and already calls for his ethics to be investigated, How much can we really take him at his word? This guy is a walking conflict of interest, and there is never going to be a way for him to run the EPA that doesn't come back to his allegiance to the fossil fuel industry.
Right. And so, just a reminder, Andrew Wheeler is currently the acting chair of the EPA and does face a confirmation hearing. Now, we're talking about Scott Pruitt, we're talking about Andrew Wheeler, but really what we need to do is talk about Donald Trump, right? This is the person that has brought these sorts of figures in. If Andrew Wheeler is removed or forced to resign, et cetera, from the EPA, it's not like Trump tomorrow is going to turn around and appoint somebody who actually cares about our environment and about public health to the EPA, which is what the EPA needs. He's going to replace them with Wheeler, with someone just like Wheeler. So ultimately, this is about the Trump administration and its allegiance to the entire administration's allegiance to fossil fuel, right?
That's absolutely true. The only caveat that I would put in there is that removing Scott Pruitt was incredibly disruptive to the EPA.
Yes.
The stress that he was under during those last few months kept him from moving forward a number of initiatives that would have been disastrous for our environment. It put sand in the gears. And overall, that's what we can do right now. We can slow the process down. We can use movement power. We can use political power. And we can use legal power to try to make everything that they're trying to do happen a little bit more slowly. And the more we're able to run down the clock, the more we're going to be able to survive this administration. That's why we need to take on Andrew Wheeler now, because every ounce of resistance we put up against him and his agenda makes it harder for him to move forward with the EPA. And if he were to move on, if he were to not be confirmed, it would be really hard for the Republicans to just foist someone else in at the last minute. So if you're out there and you think that just because Scott Pruitt is gone, it's okay to move on from the EPA, I just want to say it's more important than ever that you get in and fight and do everything you can to obstruct the new agenda, the identical agenda of acting administrator Andrew Wheeler.
Well, Lucas, give out a website for Friends of the Earth.
FOE.org.
That's FOE.org. I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks.
My guest has been Lucas Ross, Senior Policy Analyst with Friends of the Earth, and we've been discussing Trump's EPA heads, acting head Andrew Wheeler, former head Scott Pruitt. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.